Hi, hey, welcome to the Doorway of the Supernatural, and I have with me today...
Kylan Boozer.
Okay, I thought that little hindrance, maybe you forgot who your name was.
Yeah, I almost forgot myself, yeah.
So, we're going to be talking today, we are specifically going to be talking about the ways that God heals. And remember that the gifts of the Spirit are distributed by the will, the wisdom, the counsel of the Holy Ghost. One would say, well, why did God use that? Well, because he knows you.
Right.
And so if you can read, Kylan, from 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, then we're going to get started with the miracle and into the Word.
All right, and it says there, but a manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Amen. And right now, before we start talking about the ways that God heals, we're going to see this miracle that took place. This was an astounding miracle. I loved it. It takes place in Denver, Colorado, really Littleton, Colorado. So let's see this miracle.
Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, now, God, you had this plan. God, this is your moment. This is your hour for this young man. Now, I speak, God, to this tilted pelvic. I speak, God, to these muscles. I speak, God, to these vertebras. God, to these... God, I speak to this shattered vertebra in his neck. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God, as these shoulder bones have, God, become uneven. And God, in the name of Jesus, I command every bit of this right now to come into alignment in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. By the authority of that name, I command you in Jesus' name to be made whole. Yes. From this moment on, no more headaches, no more pain, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now run over and touch that wall and come back here. Run, Lord, son, I didn't say walk. Run, Lord, run, run. Come on, run. Now, there you go. Now, I want you to tell me about any pain that you had when you came up here.
Well, I was having back spasms. Like, they were actually shooting from my lower back.
Back spasms, shooting from your...
Up into my middle back, and I had a mild headache.
You had a mild headache. So what do you have now?
Nothing.
Oh, well, there you go. You go. There, it's God's time for you. Help you serve God. Get committed and stay focused on God. Okay? All righty. Praise God.
I'm glad that God is still healing. And know this, that if you fail 1,000 times and hit it one time, you got more than you would have got if you did nothing.
That's
Amen?
True.
All right. Kind of, we're going to talk about the ways that God heals. And let's go to the first one. Let's go to Psalms 41.
Psalm 41.
Psalms 41. There was a young man that... came into, well, he's not a young man, he's my age, years ago, and he came in and said, Pastor, I want you to just pray for my back. And I just said, no, you know what, I got a scripture for you. And he said, are you going to pray for me? And I said, no. I said, I got a scripture for you. Well, I don't want scripture, I want you to lay hands on me and get a miracle. I said, well, I got a scripture for you. Mm-hmm. I gave him this scripture. Read that, Psalms 41, I think, is from 1 through 4.
All right, Psalm 41, 1 through 4. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and that will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. That will make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee.
We see a passage of scripture there that this is an act of faith, an act of obedience. The Bible says if we be willing and obedient, we shall eat of the good of the land. In that passage of Scripture, it says, we will be blessed, and it says, upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and God will turn his bed of languishing, sickness, illness, mm-hmm. affliction, and he will turn it into a bed of health. No, but it says there in yours, it says, God will make the bed.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't ever make a bed of sickness.
Right.
God cleanses the bed as he does the leper's house.
Right.
And he brings healing. So I told this young man, I said, go do what that scripture says. Well, I thought you were going to pray for me. I said, no, go do what this scripture says. Now, kind of like Naaman, I ain't getting in that, Jordan. Why didn't he tell me? Well, this is a way to get healing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way that we can put our faith to. And this is a way that when we're giving to the poor, mm-hmm. we're contributing to the outreaches of our church to feed the poor, to clothe, and so forth, that we can claim this. God, you are blessing me on the earth right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am being blessed because I'm considering the less fortunate,
mm-hmm.
the poor. And God, also, you are transforming any beds of affliction that my family has, my children have, or I have. God, I believe that, God, you have brought healing.
Uh-huh.
See, the laborer is worthy of his hire. And God is looking for people that mix faith with something. It's not so much you do it this way or that way, traditional way or non-traditional. It doesn't matter how crazy you get or anything. It means that we need a place of point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, that scripture, though people don't see it like that, when you look at it, you think, well, if I want blessing, I just need... Look, when I first started food program in our church, Phyllis and I had one in our house before we were ever pastors. And because it's not your church's job to meet people's needs, it's your job. The Bible said, if you see your brother in need, you meet that need. Don't take it to your church. That's not what the Bible said. But you want to go and say, well, Pastor, I've seen so-and-so have a need. Well, then meet it. Go around and get other people involved and meet it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen?
Don't
just... Look, you're a Christian. Your church is where you meet to become skilled and mature and learned of how to use the gospel, and we preach the gospel. But it's not the place that takes the place of you and your obligations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so here we see that, you know, if you would want to be blessed, if you want to have your bed of languishing turned around, guess what? Minister to the poor.
Right.
Just touch them. When I first started the food program, sometimes I only had one can. I was so ashamed, I would wait till after dark, and I would put it on somebody's step and take off running. But that's all I had. So I had one, and my congregation was a toilet paper congregation. They didn't have money. They bring rolls of toilet paper. I told Phil, this has got to turn sometime. This toilet paper has got to turn into money. I realized they're all coming from trees, and I realize they're all going down a chute, and I realize that they're dividing, but God, you're going to have to turn this toilet paper into money. We got bills to pay. And pretty soon, toilet paper quit showing up, and people started being blessed, and thank God they started putting coins in. Hallelujah. And so I was, you know, we just had a toilet paper congregation. That was it.
Yeah.
People on welfare, and they were doing what they could. They
here,
I got extra toilet paper this month, Pastor. I said, oh, hallelujah. And I didn't have a toilet in the church, but hey, hallelujah.
Toilet paper.
So Phyllis and I had plenty of toilet paper. And that is one way. And sometimes we realize that it's just the way that we do these things. And once we incorporate them, we should keep them going.
Yeah. And I think it's what you said real quick about when you started just a can. And don't make it too hard. It's what we talked about a few episodes. Don't make it too hard.
That's
what you have, work with what you have. Then God supplies seed to the sower.
Yeah. And so it's important that we use the seeds that God gives us and simply operate in simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Not hard, simplicity.
Right.
And the second one, let's go over to, of course, we know this one pretty much. Well, let's go to Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. It's a well-known passage of Scripture. And while you're turning there, Kylie, why don't you read that, and I'm going to go to Proverbs 4:20.
So Psalm 107, verse 20.
Yeah.
Says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
He sent his word.
Sent his word.
What is the word? This is God unveiled to us in print. Jesus was God unveiled to us in the flesh. The gifts of the Spirit are God unveiled to us in demonstration.
Right.
So when it says that God sent forth his word, when we read the word, every I, every dot in this Bible is filled with the nature of God. It is filled with healing. And if I was sick dealing with something, then what I would do is I would go to the scriptures. And I would just start getting them. When Nikki and them would get sick, and I would just make cassettes, and I would say, Nikki Dosek, you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Nikki Dosek, I want you to know that God's not a respect to persons. Nikki Dosek, God raised up the blind man. He's raising you up. You're whole. You're healed. And we would do that all night. Every time it clicked, I'd go in, I'd flip the thing over. We didn't have one of them, you know, continual run. We didn't have enough money to buy one. But so if we just go to the Word and read, Kylan, it will happen. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:20, to back that up, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. In other words, it's like a medicine.
And we
take it every day, and we specifically take it for certain things in our life. And so when it talks about, you know, God sent his word and healed them and delivered them, whether it's from poverty, whether it's from depression, whether it's from whatever. When you go to them, and as it were, let's go to the medicine cabinet and say, this right here will fix your headache.
Right.
And, you know, Excedrin is good for headaches. Tylenol, I don't know. You don't know. You wouldn't take a pill for your equilibrium and replace it with blurred vision pills. If they have one, I don't know if they have blurred vision, but I'm just saying that there are specific things. God sent his word and healed us, and there is healing in this, and every promise and everything that God did for others, whether it's, you know, and God restored them. Then you want, I would read every scripture about restoration. And if I'd lost something, I'd say, God, you said that you restored it. And I would read that, and I'd let it heal my situation. I'd let it heal me.
So when Scripture encourages to meditate on the Word, that meditation is simply keeping on your mind, keeping it fresh, rolling it over through your day, thinking about that, and that the Word and the faith is built. I believe this is what God desires, what he wants, and we draw to it. You know, it builds us up to receive.
It's like taking a throat lozenge, put it in there, and when you get done with the lozenge, guess what? Your throat will be healed. And so that's another way, is simply using the Word of God and giving ourselves to it. And, you know.
And that's the thing, get into the Word.
You've
got to take
absolutely.
Time.
And so keep applying it. And then let's go to Matthew, the 8th chapter, and verse 13. This kind of goes along in same lines along this. But I think it'll... just shed some things that we may be able to use in our life. Matthew 8:13.
Matthew 8:13 says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
Now, I want you to go to back up, and let's start in verse 10.
10, go down to 13?
Because now we've already seen the result of what Jesus tells us takes place.
And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom of heaven shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that self same hour.
Now, Kylan, I didn't take you up far enough. Go up to verse 8.
8, okay.
And read down 8, 9.
And it says, and the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.
So we can speak the word to a situation specifically. Now, every disease has life in it.
Mm-hmm.
When the disease dies, healing takes place. So if we would speak to something specifically, I have a cold, then I would say, cold, in the name of Jesus, listen to what I say to you. I curse you. Mm-hmm. I command you to leave this body. I command every germ associated with you to leave this body. I command all the damage, the symptoms that they've caused, to leave the body.
Right.
That's what Jesus did. And in fact, the Bible says that Jesus spoke the word and cast out devils by his word. So we know sickness and disease is the work of the devil.
Right.
So when we speak to sickness and disease, we're doing just what Jesus did. We are simply casting out that disease. And so when people say, well, why would you speak to it? Because that's what Jesus did.
Right.
He spoke the word. The guy said, look, just speak the word, and he'll be healed. Well, I'm sure Jesus didn't say, well, you'll be prosperous. That wasn't the word. The word was, I need healing.
Yeah.
And so just think, if you were going to attack something, you would prepare for something.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to deal with depression, if you're going to deal with some disease or something that has plagued you or your family, I would prepare for battle.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew the enemy was coming tomorrow, I would look at my arsenal. I would get the rust off of it. I would sharpen it up. I'd make sure the bullets were there. I'd make sure everything was in store. In other words, when we're going to go against a sickness or a disease, we ought to prepare.
Right.
So we have an ammo to speak and to do warfare against the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Sickness is not between God and man. That's already been resolved.
Right.
He has provided it by the stripes of Jesus Christ. The same blood that redeemed us is the same blood that heals us.
Mm-hmm.
The same stripes that redeemed us are the same stripes that heal us. They're inseparable. But when the devil comes, we have to deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus cast out the devil and the blind man saw. Jesus cast out the devil, and the deaf and dumb child spoke and heard.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus didn't say, hey, Father, you know, heal this person. Because it wasn't between God and man.
Mm-hmm.
Healing is between the devil and man.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fight. It is your right, but the devil is stealing it. Remember, shouldn't this woman who hath been bound by the devil these 18 years be loosed?
Right.
Yes, she should have.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus comes in. He doesn't say anything to God. He looses him. Now, mm-hmm. we do understand that when he raises Lazarus, he prays, God, do you want me to raise him?
Mm-hmm.
Because we needed to know if it's God's will. But basically, in the area of simple, what I would call simple healing, no.
Right.
We don't have to counsel with God, because we understand that this healing is God's will.
Right.
Now, you know, if there are other things involved, and you know, then we have to say, you know, God, what do you want me to do? And, you know, if they're in sin, they've been rebellious or something like that, then, but we're presuming that people, that Christians don't live like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're talking from this side of the fence and not covering both sides. But I think, Kylan, if I was going to go to war, against sickness and disease. And it is a war,
yes,
because it is a territory that the devil has taken.
Absolutely.
He's taken ownership. Now, what is that ownership doing? He has taken ground to establish a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he takes that ground, he's going to begin to move in and control. When did this come up on him? As a young child.
Mm-hmm.
It might not have started as total deafness or total dumbness, but it started.
Yes.
In other words, he took ground,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't know what to do. You know, we're, you know, somebody shows up in your yard, you know, with a truck with a bed of lumber. You think, what's going on? I mean, you're trying to,
sift through the
situation, mm-hmm, find out what it is. So, you know, when it comes, we may not be taken back. We're going to believe God, but we still have to have time to investigate.
Right.
And so it might not always come all at once, but if it starts at all, mm-hmm, you want to take that ground back.
Right.
And so he comes in, he starts something,
mm-hmm,
and he begins to build a kingdom. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18 that God gives us the sword, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. The Bible tells us that God, their words were like sharp arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shouldn't our words then be like arrows?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so our words are like a sword. Our words are like an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Our words are like a shield of faith. So we need to speak the word,
right,
in order to deal with these areas that have been taken.
Mm-hmm.
And every disease, if left unchecked, whether by the medical world or by faith, will begin to overtake.
Uh-huh.
A cold turns to pneumonia. Pneumonia takes the life of an individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's setting up a kingdom of death.
Right.
And so what do? We have to plan. Get scriptures together and say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. And say, look, now, sweetheart, you've got a sore throat. And you know what? I'm telling you what, we're going to speak that throat every night. Now, in the name of Jesus, God, you have delivered my daughter. She is the seed of the righteous, and she is blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Blessing is not sickness, God. Blessing is not being ruled by the devil. God, blessing is not being controlled by the devil. Devil, I remind you that she belongs to me.
Right.
I remind you that she's translated out of the kingdom of darkness, seed in the kingdom of heaven with Christ Jesus. I remind you that you have no might because you've been destroyed. Yeah. Jesus came and overthrew you. You know,
mm-hmm,
what? You have nothing in us. You're not going to afflict the righteous because,
yeah,
God is the protector of the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm commanding you right now, all problems with her throat, I command every problem, every work of the devil to leave her life in the name of Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
And so we conflict that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do use the word of God to speak to sickness and disease, and you may not do that in a service, but you can do it in your household.
Sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then, Kylan, let's go to Acts, the 19th chapter. I was in a church that, when we was preaching there, had about 6,000-7,000 people, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to give out prayer calls tonight. And so I said, Pastor, can I ask the congregation to do something? He said, sure. So I told them, please bring in aprons, or towels, or handkerchiefs, whatever you want. What we're going to do is we're going to lay our hands on these. We're going to pray over them, and then we're going to take them out to sick people. Their prayer cloths. He said, okay. So he had to explain what a prayer cloth was. Now, this is a great church of faith, and they have multiple churches across the world, and I've preached in Switzerland and Rome in them. But they had never taught about the prayer clause.
Huh.
So that night, we pray over the prayer clause.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are you ushers? Pass out five or six of them in the congregation. So they passed five or six out and took the rest back to the back door. And so I was preaching, and all of a sudden I just said, hey, who's got those prayer clause? They stood up. I said, stand up. So they stood up. And the first guy said, what's wrong with you? And he said, took off these dark glasses. He said, I'm blind in this eye. I said, take that prayer cloth and put on that eye. He put it up there, and I said, okay, now take it off. He took it off. I said, now, what's wrong with that eye? He said, well, I can see you. And God healed his blind eye Mm-hmm. And we think, oh my word, that, no, no. The same virtue that was in Jesus' garment can be transferred to other items. Mm-hmm. And one of those items were prayer clothes and so forth. So let's look at verse 11 and 12.
All right, and it said, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
Now something took place from a regular cloth touching a human body. What was that? It had to be a transfer of virtue. Mm-hmm. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew, the 8th chapter, freely you have received, now you freely give. Mm-hmm. And he mentions the four states that they were given: cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, and heal the sick. Mm-hmm. So that is in every believer. It's right. in there to be partaken of and to be experienced by faith. So we know that that's there. But what Paul does is he takes this by revelation of God. This is how I'm going to heal people. He did it with the garment, the robe of Jesus. We know that anointing power, the presence of God, gets into clothes because of the mantle of Elijah to Elisha. And so they put that cloth on Paul's body, don't do anything else, and then they take it away. It looked like an ordinary cloth. It feels like it, wadded up, throw it away, chew on it, you know, strain butter with it, whatever you wanted to do. But they took it and they put it on sick people's body.
Yeah.
Not only was the power of God transferred into it, but then it was extracted from it.
Yeah.
And it goes in, and even that presence cast out evil spirits.
Yeah. And some people may think, man, that sounds odd. But remember, even Moses take off the sandals to place holy ground. God can make sacred anything.
That's right.
God can use anything.
Yep.
So this is not out of the ordinary for God to use something like this to bring about his will.
You're right. Mm-hmm. And the human body is a container.
Mm-hmm.
It is a container of God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And what separates God that dwells in a man from the world that he is seen in?
Mm-hmm.
Seven thin layers of skin. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So God doesn't have much. Because if you could look at, I don't know that you could get one layer of skin, but there are seven layers that cover man. And so God, all God has to do is go from inside to the outside through seven layers. And, you know, Jesus used it by the laying on of hands, like we do in James, the 4th chapter. We lay hands, and that which is in us goes into them. You could call it virtue, you call it anointing, you call it healing, you call it whatever you want,
right.
But it is the life of God.
Yeah.
It's the touch of life.
Right.
Our hands are, in Scripture, they're pointed to that they are like gulfs. There is something circling in them, and if you touch something to it, it's like making a drainage ditch in a gulf. Something starts running through it.
Right.
And it's in us. We are containers of God. And when we run into people, guess what? We are, they are encountering God in a man.
Right.
And so that's really what takes place. And people can use this, Kylan, themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was special miracles, but we need to realize that God is still in the miracle business.
Sure.
And it's not about who's doing it. It's that it just gets done, that Christ is glorified.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer cloths are certainly something that we can do. I think Brother Shambach, one time a woman was in an insane asylum, and her sister came to me and said, here's some candy. And he said, oh, good. She said, no, don't eat it. I want you to put it in your pocket, then give it back to me.
Okay.
I'm taking it to my insane sister in the mental institution. He said, okay. Now, he carries it in his pocket. It's a miracle he didn't need it. And he carries it in his pocket. At the end of the service, gives it back to her. She can't get anything spiritual into that mental institute, but she can take a piece of candy. She takes that piece of candy, gives it to her sister. She eats that piece of candy. 24 hours later, she is out of the mental ward, totally sound-minded and sane, healed.
Wow.
People say, well, that's impossible. No, nothing's impossible to God.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets that woman delivered. God used that piece of candy, get that woman delivered. And so, you know, I've been Phyllis eats about a bag of candy a week, and I'm still working on it. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. So, but then, so let's go to James 5:14, which is a very common passage of Scripture that we look at. Remember, we're talking about these ways that God heals. And he even heals. The Bible says that when we bless our food and our water, when we acknowledge God as being our source of provision, that he'll take sickness and disease out of the midst of us, even by that. It's amazing. And when we pray over our food, we say, God, you know, we thank you for this food. We ask you to sanctify it. We give you the praise for it. We don't want to bless food because that means to increase it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're eating one loaf of bread, you don't need two of them in your belly just by eating one. So we ask God to sanctify, and we're saying, God, we thank you because you are our source.
Right.
You are our God,
mm-hmm.
that you are taking sickness and disease out of the midst of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just a great way to connect our faith. Let's start in James 5:13 down through 16.
16?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs, psalms. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Here we see the prayer of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we talked about, like that girl said, why do they say I don't have faith? Because faith is a work. It's like a
right.
seed. It has a process it goes through. And so this, in the area of healing, sometimes we may have faith that, I mean, a sickness or disease that we may not be mature enough to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
We may not understand the principles of God. We may not have had our faith tempered. We may not have developed patience,
mm-hmm.
and all those kind of things. But so what we do is we use our faith to connect to a greater dimension of faith. This place is elders.
Mm-hmm.
And when they pray the prayer of faith, anointing him with oil, symbolic that this healing is mm-hmm. induced by the power of the Holy Ghost, not by man,
right.
that then the Bible says that the prayer of faith shall save,
mm-hmm.
shall. That means there is no question. Just let the process run.
Right.
Let the seed do what the seed does.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need instruction. It's smart enough to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we do, Jesus himself, not an angel, not somebody else, Jesus himself raises them up. In other words, it employs the physician nature of God
right.
to get involved in us. Jesus comes and lifts us up, much
mm-hmm.
like out of the Jericho Road. He lifts us up by his own strength, and he resolves the issue of sickness and health.
Right.
And that happens in the prayer of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like to talk about the verse 16, because it says, pray one for another that you may be healed. I think that that is a twofold type of intercession.
Right.
And so when people are saying, well, they're sick. I wonder what happened to them. I wonder if they did sin. They must have unforgiveness in their life.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe they have friends like you that are not interceding. I'm just throwing
yeah.
off. I know you're not like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes people have friends that they observe, they condemn, they criticize.
Right.
But
if,
they never use their faith to set people free.
Even in admonishment in the church, if it is not pushing this way, it shouldn't happen.
That's right. Yep. And so here is that when we see our brothers, you know, we bear one another's burdens.
Yeah.
If you see your brother and you have this world's good and you don't meet that need, then where is the love of God in you? How can we look upon brothers and sisters fighting sickness and disease and not be brought to the place of intercession?
Right.
And then I think that after the prayer of faith is prayed, Kylan, mm-hmm. that we need to pray that their faith fails not.
Right.
We need to pray. God, I just ask that you bring people across their path, encourage them. God, give me a word of encouragement for them today and help them build their faith up.
Instead of criticizing when somebody's stumbling or struggling,
yeah.
we take their arm, put it around our shoulder, and we're going to bear our burdens together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we help them. That's the problem in the church.
Yeah.
Criticism versus what the church should be is coming together,
yes.
bearing one another's burdens, and strengthen that brother till he's strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when he's strong, and he's going
to help somebody else.
That's the
and,
process.
You know, when we look at this, Kylan, it is the place that we should be invoked to use our faith.
Right.
Remember, we love our brothers as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And do we want people praying for us? Certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you don't love like that, then you can't expect love back like that. And so it's imperative. And then let's go. We already talked about 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. The gifts of the Spirit are many times invoked. Yes, it can be invoked sovereignly because God has plans, but not always is it sovereign. 90% of the time, it's a response to somebody's faith.
Yeah.
And that gift of healing would go into motion
mm-hmm.
like that. And then we have Matthew 18:16, and this is known as the prayer of agreement.
Matthew 18:16.
Yeah, I think, is that, or did I do, should I have done 16 to 18? Help me here. Hallelujah.
Two or three witnesses, the word be established. Is that what you're looking for?
No, I'm looking at any two agree. Oh, how about a... Let's go over to, let me see, give you the keys of the kingdom.
You might want 16.
What is it?
It says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, and that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. That may be in a disagreement, I think, is what it's talking about. But
there is the prayer of agreement that I'm looking for here. And let me see. One of you guys know where it's at? Please tell me. And... good night. Where is
call
it?
Call in quick.
Yeah, please. Let me know. well, don't you know everything? Absolutely not.
Oh, man.
What is it? Thank you.
What is it?
Right there you go. Matthew
18:19. Okay,
yeah.
There we go. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them and my Father, for them of my Father which is in heaven.
So we do know the prayer of agreement. Now, mm-hmm. the problem with the prayer of agreement is you need to know the people, because you just say, you know, people come up and say, hey, Pastor, would you agree with me? Now, I used to say, oh, yeah. But the thing of it is, that's as far as it went.
Right.
I didn't walk in agreement with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, you know, if you're going to agree, then you're going to walk with your brother.
Right.
And you may go 1 mile, you may go two. Mm-hmm. You might have to require to take your coat off and help him.
Right.
So when we ask somebody to agree with us, lay out the boundaries of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure that they're as committed to your victory as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're just going to bail out on you when you're out in the middle of the ocean, that means you only got one oar to row, not two. And
exactly.
What you're going to do is end up going in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Because you started something and the other guy bailed on you and the oar is gone. You say, hey,
right.
come on back here.
Right.
So there is the prayer of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But even prayer itself, Kylan, mm-hmm. establishes that God is a healing God.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus said, look, whatsoever you ask the Father, in my name, I'll give you. He didn't say, except healing and blessing and joy and happiness. Don't ask that stuff. We aren't interested in that in heaven.
Yeah.
No. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name. Now, what did Jesus ask the Father about? Well, he asked the Father about Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, you know, he prayed. And then he says, Father, I know that thou hearest me. But I say that because these people hear.
Yeah.
So, God, I know that you have heard me in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, he calls Lazarus forth with great boldness and confidence. And so even when we pray, prayer itself, Kylan, dictates that God will not withhold healing from those that ask Him.
Right.
And so we really could not say in any way, shape, or form that God wouldn't heal if God answers prayer.
Right. Yeah, ask, so, be given to you, seek, you'll find, knock.
It shall be open. Absolutely. So these are some of the different ways that God heals. I'm sure that there are hundreds of different ways. And I don't care how God heals as long as people get healed, because right. the Bible says in James and Luke, I got 17:15, that they glorified God after people get healed. Nobody praises God for sickness and disease. They rejoice after the people get free from them.
Yes.
That might be a secret. You know, I don't believe in healing. Well, we ought to believe in healing. Unless you're going to go to church this Sunday and stand up and say, hey, I just want to give God thanks today because we discovered we have cancer. We are so grateful to the Father for putting this upon us. And we praise God. This deepens our faith and our dedication in the Lord. And hallelujah, we've just been believing for years for one of us to get cancer. And hallelujah, God came through. And praise the Lord, we're going to be wise and we're going to be smarter. We're going to be dead, but we're going to be wise and we're going to be smarter than we've ever been. And I just want to give my testimony. So for all of you people out there that would like to have cancer, come to our church. God is giving out cancer. Come and be blessed. Is that stupid? So when we tell people, well, God put this on you, I tell you what, I ain't getting around Him. I mean, I've got my own problems. I don't want to add to them anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I don't go into somebody says, well, you know, I got the whooping cough and it's very contagious. I say, well, I'll just be over right now. I say, well, tell me when it's not contagious. And I come on over. Let me pray for you through the phone.
Right.
Reach out and touch someone as the old phone call used to say, I'm going to touch you now. So put your hand on your own head.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't go into those germ areas. Why would we go into churches where God was smiting people with sickness and disease? I think He said He would do that to our enemies, mm-hmm. not to our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I wouldn't go to that church.
No.
Not me. I want a God that's going to help me, not a God that's mm-hmm. going to destroy me.
Right.
And I certainly don't want a God that's going to smite my family.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few things. Next week, we're going to deal with these things right here. Boy, I knew this would get faith people coming. And I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you. Why is it important to test after prayer for healing and sometimes praying again? Why is it important? I don't know. I have to tell you the truth, I don't know. But I do know that Jesus took a blind man out one time and said, what do you see? He said, well, I see men standing like trees.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, okay. And he prayed again.
Yeah.
Now
he asked the question, what's
amen.
Happening?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm praying for people, sometimes one, two, I prayed for blind people as many as four times, but they got healed.
Mm-hmm.
I may be dealing with, you know, when I pray for somebody, they say, well, you know, I hear a little. Okay, hey, good deal. That's a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, I see some, it's still blurry. Okay, well, you were totally blind.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. And so we pray for them, and I would pray for them again. And if it took the third time, I'd pray again the third time. Well, why are you doing it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe God's moving me because that might be what the person expects.
Yeah.
But I will say this, that sometimes when people pray the first time, then they say, go and, you know, according to your faith, you know, and those people never get healed. But there was something wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful. And I'm not telling everybody to pray five times or anything. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't ask me why I'm like that. I'm just like that. But I will guarantee you that I'm using my faith every time I pray. Oh, but you're not taking by faith that they're healed. No, I might not be, but I'm seeing blind eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, Kylan, I pray for people, and I will go to cast out blind devil. And then I pray and I command that devil to come out. And I say, can you see? They say, no. Then I say, okay, how did this come up on you? They say, well, you know, I got hit in the head when I was young and I went blind in this eye. Now it's a different ball game.
Right.
And so, well, why didn't you ask God the first time? I don't know. But if you can be hired and come be my counselor and be the wisdom, come on in. Look, I'll start you out at $150 and give you $1,000 for every success you get. So you'll be a rich man. And but you know, we prove things.
Yeah.
So sometimes we're navigating through people's lives. You know, I've prayed for deaf people and they haven't heard. And then I'd say, how did this come up on you? Well, you know, when I was young, I had a fever.
Yeah.
And I was sick. Now I'm dealing with a spirit of infirmity. Mm-hmm. I'll take authority over that. And their hearing will return.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we, and I'm guilty of it, by just presuming that's a blind devil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pray for it. And then if I don't get it, I say, okay, now why? I know the devil is not going to, you know, defeat me.
Right.
So I say, okay, what happened to you? One time I was in Mexico, and this little boy had a tumor behind his eye. I cast out that deaf spirit, and that blind eye, and he said, I can't see. And I said, well, what happened to you? So his dad steps up and says, he has a tumor in his head, mm-hmm. and it shut off the nerves and the blood vessels to that eye.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I do? I just cursed the tumor. And lo and behold, the eye saw. So, you know, I think that a lot of times that happens. It happens with me. Maybe not with anybody else, but with me. The other thing is, sometimes there is a holy anger that comes that needs to have an authoritative, aggressive release, the violent, take it by force.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it takes me a couple times of prayer to get aggravated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that may be a part of it. But as long as you're praying in faith, and I'm praying in faith, mm-hmm. every time I pray, I'm praying in faith.
Right.
So, and then it says, can you talk about how the gifts of healing, faith, discerning of spirits, and the working of miracles overlap?
Oh boy, that's big.
Yeah.
That's a big subject.
It is a big subject, but I'll just say this, and maybe we'll get into this a little next week.
Mm-hmm.
But we separate the gifts for the purpose of teaching. Now, they do have mm-hmm. defining lines that help us understand, but in God's eyes, it's kind of like the word of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Does what? Connects you to the faith of God.
Yes.
It infuses in you a faith that has never existed before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're connected, dependent upon each other.
Yes.
Faith, the work, gift of faith connects you to the working of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
So we divide them like we do the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, but in essence,
yeah.
they are so connected and interwoven.
Mm-hmm. Yes, through the Spirit,
right.
Love, joy, peace. They're,
all connected.
We can
right.
define them, but they're interwoven. They work together. They hold hands.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you can't have the fruit of the Spirit and be hateful,
right?
And be mean. Mm-hmm. And I know some of you think those are the other two. There are 11 fruits, and when those fruits are in operation, love is dependent upon gentleness. Gentleness is dependent upon kindness, and it goes on down the list.
Self-control.
Absolutely.
You have to control.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like add to your faith, virtue, diligence, temperance.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things need to be connected to it for faith to be full.
Yeah.
And so they do overlap.
Right.
And sometimes it doesn't matter what gift that we define it to.
Yeah.
You don't have
to define and say, well, that was this. And
that was the discernment
don't worry about
spirit.
It.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just get results.
Right.
And so, I mean, we could belabor it and go on and on, but most gifts, like any fruit or anything else, help bear another.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Holy Ghost bears the identity of Christ. Christ bears the identity of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're built up on each other, and they're dependent upon each other. Mm-hmm. So we are going to see you next Tuesday at 9 o'clock. And so be blessed. Let me pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose right now, God, the gifts of healing in people's lives. I loose them, God. God, I release right now their activity. And God, let these gifts of healing flow through people in the name of Jesus Christ, that Christ may be glorified, God may be revealed, and people can be set free. Now, God, I loose this gift to become active in their life in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, be blessed. We will see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.